me tell you of the days of high adventure.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm John.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look back at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
Welcome back, everybody. John,
hey,
how are
guys,
you?
Hey, guys, buddy. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Tell us all what we're drinking.
Yeah, we are drinking the 13th Colony Southern Bourbon Whiskey, which, if I recall from the label correctly, is a blend.
Is a blend?
Was
it from Americus, Georgia?
It is from Americus, Georgia. Americus? Americus. Americus?
Americus.
They'll let us know. We know we have fans down in America listening right now. From Braves Country.
What do you think of it?
I think it's tasty.
I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it's an easy drinker.
Yeah, it's very, very smooth, delicious. Tastes like bourbon.
Yeah.
It's not too acrid, not overly alcoholic.
No.
As far as the way that hits your nose sometimes,
yeah,
if you've got an especially boozy one. Tastes like corn and oak, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What are we talking about today, John?
Well, we've been talking about the Braves here.
First of all, I want to say thanks to everyone who's listening.
Yes.
Thanks to our loyal weekly listeners. Thanks to everyone on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, our listeners and our other shows. Everyone
there. Shout out to other regular listeners like Daniel Day-Lewis, Jacqueline in the UK, Tiffany in New York, Andrew in Houston.
Absolutely. We love you all like our own children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always just tickled when people listen. And if you're loving us on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, I would say, you know, just hook a brother up, follow us on our own feed as well. We actually, there are reasons to follow us on our own feed.
Yeah.
We release in a higher audio quality, so we probably sound a little better. We also drop a day earlier on our own feed. So if you just cannot wait.
And I can't.
To get your 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger fix. Subscribe to our own feed and you can
access to that content early.
You can spoil it for all your friends.
Yeah. The water cooler. Did you hear the new 6 DOS?
Did you hear
what happened at the end of Eraser? I did. I've seen that movie,
Daniel,
you asshole.
Day and Judy Dench at the water cooler just hashing it out, chopping it up.
Dame Judy. And happy birthday to Helen Mirren.
We know you're listening. Listens. She's still a gorgeous woman.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's boxy.
Regal.
Yeah. So as I said a moment ago, we're talking about Eraser.
Yes, we are.
I have no idea what's happened in the movie at this point. I'll try to recap what happened in the last episode. So Lee and Eraser, or Eraser and Lee, if you're nasty, escaped from the zoo from the CG alligators. All the feds roll up and the witness protection people in their private chopper. DeGarren immediately starts to tell Beller. He starts to try to throw Eraser and Lee under the bus, saying that Eraser is the one that's in on the government plot and that Lee is like his accomplice. And Beller is not buying it. Shortly thereafter, Eraser, Beller tells DeGarren to bring them in alive, which we hope at least buys them a little bit of time.
Right.
Eraser and Lee, Eraser calls Beller and tells him, no, actually, what DeGarren said is the plot. Like, he's the bad guy. Give me some time to prove it. So he and
Beller
Lee are on the lam.
Seems inclined to believe Eraser.
Yeah, he seems inclined to go with the sample size and what he knows. Eraser says, we can't trust anybody, so we're going to go to the one person that I feel like I maybe can trust that's not this priest.
This one guy that I met for 30 minutes a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, who is Johnny. Eldon from Murphy Brown.
Yeah. Robert Pastorelli.
Yeah. Who witness protection life is as a bartender in a gay bar, which is kind of a sweet gig. I bet he's making bank.
Absolutely. Gotta be.
And he's like, we need your help to break into the Cyrez Corporation building because that's the only place where we can find out what's on this disc. DeGaren reckons that that's exactly what Eraser is going to do. So he and his goons hole up there to wait. With the help of Pastorelli, of Johnny, Lee and Eraser do sneak in, do find out what's on the disc, but not before somehow an IT guy figures out what they're up to, lets everyone know where they're... Anyway, there's a dramatic escape.
This is like Eraser the hacker of all hackers, because he erased the disc remotely.
Somehow.
So now they've lost their one exonerating bit of evidence.
Right, but they know that there's an arms deal somehow going down that night in Baltimore, and as luck would have it, Johnny's cousins run the docks in Baltimore.
Exactly.
And so, also as they were leaving Cyrez, Lee was captured by DeGaren. And that should catch us up.
She's in the clutches of the evil
James Caan.
James Caan, rest in peace.
Yeah, so I think that gets us caught up.
That was perfect,
more or less.
My friend.
Yeah, not bad for slightly tipsy.
Oh my God, this bourbon
is
hitting
the spot. Let's go
drive
a car.
See how fast you can drive home. Yeah, so at the mob hideout, I guess, on the docks in Baltimore, Johnny calls out from the dark, shocking his friends who had thought he was dead, because that was like his cover for his witness relocation or whatever.
Right.
Johnny says that must have been somebody else who got killed. His cousin, but he's much too old to be his cousin.
Well, it could be distant cousins.
Yeah, right.
It's, older cousins.
That's a colloquialism or something. But his cousin Tony is reluctant to forgive Johnny for ratting to the feds.
That is Joe Vitarelli, who is in every mob movie you've ever seen recently. Yeah, he's just in everything.
He usually just doesn't get to talk.
He does talk, but he's always this guy, and he's always in like one or two episodes of a show playing this role.
Okay.
Yeah, he's always Tony.
A mafioso.
Tony Two Toes.
So it's no big deal to anyone that Johnny has brought a federal agent into their clubhouse.
I do love the bit when Tony says, you're dead, so you must be a ghost. And then Johnny's like, boo.
No, we talked about this movie lacking a sense of fun. And this is one scene that you can point to in the movie that you're like,
this is easily the best scene in the movie for me.
It feels loose and like the guys are having a good time.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From top to bottom, even Schwarzenegger. But all these guys are clearly just like, this movie needs some help. It's like somebody told him, it's like, this movie needs help and you're it.
So Eraser steps forward. He says that Johnny helped to get a drug dealer and his poison off the street.
Who's the tree trunk?
I guess this is supposed to be like the old school, like Corleone type philosophy.
Yeah, we don't give drugs to kids.
We don't deal in drugs. That's poison or whatever. But Johnny introduces the guys. There's Tony Two Toes, who's in charge. Sally Boy, shooting pool. And little Mike, who's like the comic relief, is a big behemoth of a man.
Yeah, with a tiny person's voice.
He says, "Hey, your funeral was absolutely beautiful."
I loved that line. It was like you hear like laughing and like slapped him on the shoulder. It was awesome.
And did we recognize Sally Boy?
Yeah, we recognized Snell as John Schneider or Schneider, who played the pimp in Crocodile Dundee.
You're gonna talk all night, or you're gonna screw one up? Yeah, I loved that.
Dude's got a very distinct look and sound.
And you're familiar with his more broad work and probably bigger success.
He's living the dream as an uber successful voice actor in anime, video games. Like he's doing tons of shit. And that seems to be like where a lot of as we've done this, like a lot of actors from that time figured out like that there's money to be made and that shit, like anime is prolific and it like doing English dubs for that shit, like it's a full-time job if you can find the work.
So I snuck away yesterday to watch the movie Nope.
Did it live up to the hype?
I mean, I didn't think it was as good as Get Out, but like Get Out was a work of inspired genius to me. But what I will say about Nope, aside from it being refreshing to see an actual original story,
right?
Which
I can't wait to see it.
Hard to find nowadays. It had some of the best voices, you know, in hit ever. It had Keith David.
Ooh, nice.
Amazing voice, right? And it had this guy who I'm looking up right now, Michael Wincott. You know, the guy, he was the sheriff of Nottingham's cousin.
Why not an ex cousin?
What a voice.
Might I have the pleasure of your name before I have you run through?
He was awesome.
Oh, man, I can't wait to
listen
watch
to
this.
That gravelly voice. I could just listen to him talk all day. So, yeah
man,
but no.
Keith David's voice is fucking
Keith David,
unreal.
Who's like, I'm sure he gets a lot more voice work than he does. Well, he's a hell of an actor.
Yeah.
But he does like all those fucking Ken Burns documentaries, like voicing over, was it jazz or baseball? He did some of the bigger Ken Burns.
Mm-hmm. He's also, if you're a video game nerd, I needn't tell you because you'll know, but he was the voice of the Arbiter in the Halo series.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's huge. It's like as soon as he talks there, you're like, oh, man, yes. Man. Why a spoon, cousin? Why not an axe? Because it's dull, you twit. It'll hurt more.
Two iconic voices. Yeah. Those two together.
Yeah, for real. Alan Rickman's voice, one of a kind.
But, yeah. So, anyway, great movie. Check out Nope. Anyway.
We'll do.
So, back in Eraserland, Eraser tells the mob guys, you know, well, there's a major arms deal going down on your docks tonight.
I like that they laugh and they're like, yeah, we know.
No, I thought at first he was like, well, you know.
No, he said, he's like.
We're sell. They're.
He's like, yeah,
people
tell us
power
something we
selling
don't know.
Arms to our enemies. Well, it's, and they were like, oh, yeah, we know that. And they're like, and it's going down on your docks,
that's,
motherfuckers.
And they're like, oh, shit.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah, we don't know that part.
So, yeah, that gets their dander up. Now, out on the ship, Daguerrin is speaking with the Russian arms dealer guy.
He's like the captain of the boat, we assume.
As the, I think he's the I don't know what his title is. I don't know if he's a terrorist or not, but I think he's the dude. I think he's the main dude.
Mr. Katanga.
Yes, absolutely. He's that. He's the head dude in charge. He's the arms dealer, I think. But the Russian is saying, you know, you sure brought a lot of security. Is there a problem? Right. Should we be worried? Daguerrin says, you know, I'm a Boy Scout. I just believe in being prepared.
I like that.
Yeah. The Russian asks, well, what about this woman?
Why the fuck is she tied to my chair?
Why is she tied to my chair? And they've got her, like, with wire around her wrist. That is
painful as fuck.
I know. That shit probably got you, too, because you got the... Do you have, like, a hands and feet
injury
thing?
I don't
like thing?
Hands and hands. I mean, that's far enough down the hand.
No,
that
it's
the
extremities.
It's like if it had been, like, wrapped across... that's what I want to see. Is it... Is it Aronofsky, that new, that body horror thing that's out?
Oh,
or is it,
no, Cronenberg.
Cronenberg. I want to see that shit. That looks
you
crazy.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
It's not going to freak you out?
Nah.
I
want
to see that, too.
Crazy. It looks
Crimes
nuts.
Of the Future we're talking about.
Leah Seydoux's in that.
Yeah, dude. Is that your girl?
I think it's all of our she's having a moment.
I
she's
heard
in
someone
the zeitgeist.
Say, like, she's the most French-looking person that's ever lived.
That's
her, or on Vincent Castle, maybe.
The two of them together, the most French people of all time. That's very true.
Or Jean Reno is high on the list too, of looking French.
Yes, that's a good point as well.
Jean Reno is awesome. And you know what else is awesome? Ronan.
Yes. God, and Viggo Mortensen, unrelated. But Cronenberg, anyway.
Cronenberg tie.
Eraser.
Okay. So, but yeah, the shit with Lee, like, wired down and it's cutting into her skin, that shit was painful just to look at.
But, like, it wasn't, it probably wasn't so tight that it was cutting in when, like, you wouldn't have to work very hard before you realize, oh, that's cutting into me,
really,
I should stop.
It really fucking hurts, yeah.
Yeah. Like, so, I don't know. Anyway.
But Daguerrin says, you know, this, she's just an insurance policy. Once we complete our deal, basically, you can do what you want with her.
Right.
Which was fucking gross. The vibe gets a little rapey.
Yeah, Daguerrin says, if it was me, I'd shoot her in the head and dump her overboard.
The guy starts pawing at her, like, touch, caressing her face.
Yeah, he's like, don't even think
don't
about
even think
it.
Don't even think about it. He backhanded the shit out of her.
I feel like that would have probably broken her jaw or something.
And
or
she had a big wound on her face already from where fucking Daguerrin had pistol whipped her in the last
chapter.
She's
been hit in the head a lot. That's what I want to say is, like, and maybe that's another reason why this movie feels like no fun, is that because she's got no role in this movie. She is a set piece.
She's getting battered.
She's ordered around. It's just like there's no personality.
Like how she's the Cyrez executive. She's the brain.
She's an accountant, right?
And then you've got fucking Eraser in there. Henpecking around on the keyboard be the smart one who knows her way around.
That's one of the reasons why I feel like Commando is a superior movie, is because Cindy was such an amazing character. She was a stronger character than Lee was.
She was definitely more feisty and had more personality to her. Yeah, right. Lee is a little bit bland.
Yeah,
as a character, they don't give her a lot to do.
Right,
but yeah, Russian smacked the shit out of her. Was brutal. Daguerrin says he's going to leave the two lovebirds alone and takes off, which was fucking evil, dude.
Yeah.
Like, abandoning her to a fate worse than death.
Yep.
So meanwhile, Eraser, brandishing like a tactical shotgun, he's leading the mob guys through out onto the pier. He calls Beller on his phone.
On his celly.
Tells Beller the whole scheme of what's going on with DeGaron and the undersecretary and the arms deal. He tells Beller to come on down to Baltimore Harbor.
Oh, he's like, come get me.
Come and get me.
That's good stuff.
It was efficient storytelling, that little scene.
Yeah, and then he chucks the phone. That's what I'm saying is, like, for whatever reason, they really, really tightened things up in this last part of the movie.
It did feel, the movie as a whole feels like it was written by different writers, which it was.
Yeah.
But because you have scenes that meander and go nowhere, and then you have scenes that are very crisp. And you have good one-liners, and you have bad one-liners.
I have no idea, what the entire middle part of the movie was, where they go on the wild goose chase to, we've got other people, other witnesses.
You needed some action in the middle to
bridge
it all.
This is so stupid. It's like, what the fuck is happening? And I couldn't figure out if they were trying to reinforce the relationship between James Caan and Schwarzenegger, between Eraser and DeGaron. But it's just like the whole middle of the movie feels, it's just like, what? It doesn't belong.
It's action. It's sound and fury signifying nothing.
Yeah, anyway.
Now, DeGaron has returned to his mobile command center with this fucking pimped out truck, surveillance truck with a satellite dish and everything on the roof. Where the fuck did that shit come from?
Witness protection.
There's a record of.
He commandeered it until he wiped the books. He got that IT guy to figure it out.
So he's doing a security check. We see that there's goons stationed everywhere. They're armed, a lot of them, with the EM guns.
Yeah.
That's the that's the MacGuffin of the movie.
The real gun, yeah.
Yeah, it's that's what this whole thing is about. But yeah, there are goons everywhere. Calderon and Schiff are among them.
Yes.
All of the men say that everything's quiet, but DeGaron is still certain that Eraser's out there somewhere.
Love the line and this colloquialism that I use on radio. He's like, keep your heads up and your assholes puckered. My asshole puckered is a great visual. It's like, just tighten it up, tighten it up.
DeGaron has dozens of traitorous mercenaries, on the payroll, apparently. He's also just chain smoking at this point. I think he's nervous. I think that's what it's signifying, is that he's fucking uptight.
Well,
is on the line.
These are the same kinds of guys in The Rock that are like, we are ready to fucking blow the city up, sir.
Trigger happy dudes.
Yeah, that are just like, we are ready.
So as the mob guys, minus Eraser, they approach the guy guarding, I guess, the main gate at the end of the pier. They tell him that they heard a ship was being loaded without union labor.
This shit is amazing. This dude, the guard shack guy, oh man, it's painful to watch.
Dude, that's exactly, I had there's a huge acting discrepancy between the mob guys and this guy, who I feel like was probably just a stunt man.
Yeah, he was a stunt guy.
Can you read lines?
Yeah.
Can you remember this thing to say?
That's exactly, do you read English? Yeah. Okay, can you remember this thing? What's your phone number?
Now, the guy calls for backup, and other security comes to assist at the gate. Meanwhile, we see that Eraser is snuck in, and he's fucking shimmying through the rafters of the warehouse nearby. What the hell is he doing up there, fucking balance beaming his way around?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
That was just weird. But more security arrives at the gate. Tensions rise. The ranking security guy demands that the mob guys leave, says it's a matter of national security. That dude in charge, who immediately upped the acting caliber.
Yeah, I was about to say, that dude was fucking off the hook. He had a big Ron Perlman vibe.
Yes. He was a great voice. He was in Shawshank Redemption. He was part of Red's clique in Shawshank. His name was, he was Floyd.
Okay, I remember him sitting at the table. Yeah.
In this movie, he's credited as first perimeter guy.
He's definitely, I feel like the first guy they talked to was third perimeter guy.
But then. I don't know if it was probably Pastorelli. It was probably Johnny. He was like, are you threatening us? And he said, Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Oh,
man.
It was. I was like, oh my God, that's menacing as shit.
Everyone draws their guns. Dicks are being measured.
Yeah, everyone's looking to see, what's yours look like?
So Eraser, he's climbed down from the roof that he went up onto for no plausible reason.
Yeah, it's like, I'm looking for the most complicated way in. It's like, how have you stayed alive this whole movie if this is how you're getting into places?
Yeah, he hops down onto this sort of small crane, but he spooks some seagulls that are there. One of the many hazards of going up on the roof when you don't need to. right?
At a pier, I guess.
The shrieking of the birds, it gets the attention of a couple of guards that are down on the ground. They whirl around and just start shooting. Well, see,
so I took this, I got the order of this a little different. So they kind of look in the direction of the noise, and then Eraser, without really being sure if they've spotted him, flips off the crane like a gymnast, as and then that they're like, oh shit, there's someone flying through the air, and they start firing at him, and he somehow lands behind them because they've never moved.
They never moved. Even as Eraser is behind them, they're still shooting up in the air.
Like, you can see him coming. You know, why wouldn't you turn around and shoot him as he's landing?
I don't know what
we talk about. How we're talking about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the ridiculous. And this is ridiculous.
I mean, this is outlandish shit.
Like, you still have control of, like, I feel like it's like they gave someone a gun that had never fired a gun. They're like, oh my God, I'm so like taken aback by the sounds and vibrations.
I'm holding the trigger down until I'm empty.
But it's like he landed behind them, touched, and they watched him ostensibly fly through the air. I mean, shit. I mean, I guess you have, maybe it was dark. I don't know.
There's an explanation. It also made me think, though, like, that was such a strange move because he went full gymnast. It wasn't just like he jumped down.
No.
He did a spinning flip in the air.
He did a Hurricane Rana. <It's>
like, I started thinking, like, he was like a West Germany gymnast or something like that. That's his backstory.
I wish to God that had been paid off earlier in the movie, that he was like the scene in Kickboxer we're talking about, like, we were raised by different parents in different worlds.
Yes,
like,
you were a gymnast. Focus,
like, yeah. And he's like, I was raised by my gymnast father.
My father, he had me on a pommel horse.
Every day.
Horse.
On the floor.
On the floor. Exercise. But yeah, he took both those dudes.
Now I can't not think about Arnold doing floor exercise. That would
Which
be amazing.
Which dudes don't even do. No. But anyway, he takes both those dudes out with his bare hands.
Yeah.
But the gunfire has been heard. The alarm is raised.
Yeah, the die is cast. Shit's going off now.
There's like a momentary distraction. Johnny and the mob guys pounce on those guards at the gate. They beat them down with like bats and
yeah, the butts
clubbing
of guns
them with
things.
The butts of their guns. Real shitty guards. If you got three of you incapacitated.
All of them like ostensibly ex-military.
Without a shot being fired, they were all incapacitated.
Yeah.
Three of them.
They probably, like, I'm trying to think in a real situation like that, they would have heard the shots and immediately taken a defensive position.
At that point, they probably just start capping dudes.
But I feel like in the movie, the way that they set it up is that DeGuerin makes a call on the radio to say, like, some shit's going down. And I feel like we're meant
this
to think
that.
This
was after the gunshots had started?
Yeah, the gunshots start. DeGuerin says, what's that? And then it's obviously gunshots. And then that lead gate guy was like, what the radio say? Like, and then that's when the shit goes down. So it's like, what?
But so, yeah, they disarm those dudes. Johnny scoops up an Uzi off one of the guys and disconnects. I think it was Sally Boy disconnected the video feed.
Uh-huh.
Dude, I love seeing Uzis in movies, man. The old school Uzis. I feel like I used to have a water gun that was looked like black like that.
That was the one that would get you
killed by police if you were holding it, probably.
For sure. It was the golden age of Uzis in movies, yes. For certain.
Meanwhile.
Back in Baltimore.
Calderon sees that there's guys inside the perimeter. He radios to DeGuerin that there's a security breach. DeGuerin orders the men to hurry up and get that shipment loaded. Eraser is waving for the mob guys to come on ahead, follow me.
So as a first-time watcher, the thing that I got was that this was like a tactical thing where he was like, you guys go that way.
Well, it was like, you guys go make it distract way. The gate, guys. That's what. But it still doesn't really explain why he had to go through the rafters.
Everything that he does in this is like, why not just run around the perimeter of the thing instead of being like, I'm going to go through this building. It's like,
we know he can sneak anywhere, anytime, right?
But like, now we're seeing him sneak, and it's like this. It's like the first time that he's unsuccessful twice.
Yes. It's true.
Boo.
So Eraser, for some reason, he breaks into another building like a warehouse or a factory or something that has nothing really to do with anything.
And the only thing that I can think of is that he's trying to split up their forces and he's moving from a covered position. But this, like, we know these guns can see through walls.
Yes.
So it's like,
he may not know that yet.
That's true, because he showed up late to the house. He didn't know that from earlier.
He doesn't know what they saw.
So maybe he's just thinking, it's like, I'm splitting our forces and I'm trying to go from a covered position.
So he's decided that his move is going to be, I'm going to break out the window, going to crawl across the broken glass. Schiff is like sweeping the area with the EM gun. The scope can see through shit, as right. we just mentioned. So we're
and
seeing.
It locks in on heartbeats somehow. We're not sure how the technology
crazy.
Works.
But we're also seeing that it casts this big green circle of light that
permeates matter.
Through walls.
It permeates matter. Like, yeah, it goes through matter and you can see it. And it's like,
that's not a great stealthy weapon.
Well, I feel like also if that's the case, then it'd be harmful to human skin just on its own. If it can shine through solid matter into your body, that's not good.
That's the shit that Trump wanted to treat COVID with.
COVID with?
Yeah, we're gonna shine a light into your body. Fucking shit. But then Calderon locks onto a cat inside the building, and we see the spotlight. Yeah, it's penetrating shit.
It's weird to me.
But somehow
that
he locked in on the cat, but he didn't see a racer right next to
the
cat. The
larger body, larger heart next to the cat.
Yes.
One heart at a time, I guess. I don't
know. The mob guys, they creep a little bit closer to where they can see the bad guys loading the ship. Cousin Tony Two Toes says, there they are, commie bastards.
This is such a good exchange.
And like, yeah, little Mike, the big guy, says, actually, they're not communists anymore. They're a federation of independent liberated states. And Tony says, don't make me hurt you, Mikey. That was the best legitimately funny moment of the movie. Don't make me hurt you, Mike.
Agreed. Vitarelli bringing it.
So the mob guys armed with a hunting rifle and a scope.
That's Sally Boy.
He's wondering aloud if he could hit the guy positioned high atop the crane who's like loading the shipping container. Big fucking foreshadowing.
Right.
For
I
you.
Feel like Johnny, tell, hit that Johnny guy? Tells him you'd be lucky to hit the floor if you fell on it.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Now, using the X-ray scopes, the bad guys can see that Eraser's inside the building. People start shooting at him from all sides with those EM guns. Eraser's tipped off by the bright green light, but somehow he still manages to dodge a bullet, it seemed like, that's traveling
so
near
many.
The speed of light.
That's what I'm saying is, like, this whole thing, based on what we've been taught throughout the movie, is implausible. We've been told that this weapon is an equalizer, not even an equalizer. I mean, it's impossible to defend against.
Yeah, yes. I can see though why the U.S. military didn't order any of these guns, because everyone's fucking missing. Like, it doesn't work. There must be bugs in the system.
Good for shooting on a position, but not good at shooting moving targets, perhaps.
I guess not.
But also, it's like, because the thing, I mean, it's still operator error, right?
Yeah.
You got to move. You also have to.
Once it locks in on a heart, I don't know how it works, but.
But also, if it moves at the speed of light, you would think that it wouldn't matter if the person was moving. Because if it can shoot that fast, you'd pull the trigger and they'd be instantaneously killed.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't, yeah, as long as they're in the crosshairs, there's
no
dodge. You don't have to aim in front of them.
As soon as you pull the trigger, they'd be dead.
Yes.
Instantaneous.
It's on them instantly.
So this whole scene of him, like, the bullets whizzing past, to me, is like, it's ludicrous. Just given the tell me how fast the gun actually shoots. But saying speed
of light.
You
wouldn't even be able to see.
No.
We can sort of see the bullets a little bit, or whatever it is that they're firing. And yeah, you wouldn't be able to see shit.
Yeah, we're no physicists. We know some are listening.
Please.
Probably in the
Email
Kremlin.
Email us, tweet at us, find us on Instagram.
Hey, friends in the Kremlin, let us know how this science works.
At any rate, these
and
dudes
get out of the Ukraine while you're at it.
Oh, fuck.
Just Ukraine, sorry, not the Ukraine.
At any rate, the dudes, they absolutely destroy the building. And it seemed like maybe Eraser was hit. I don't know.
Or some, like, to me, I was like, as shit was falling down around him, he screamed. So I was like, shrapnel or something hit him as it was falling.
It was pretty incredible, though, the damage the guns can do.
Yeah, the building's like on fire now.
So in a moment of hubris, DeGuerin says, I think it's safe to say we got him.
The hubris is infectious because then Calderon and Schiff are both like, yep.
He's toast. And then one of the guys, I think we even got the roaches.
Yeah, it's like everyone's dude, like, oh, so you are the next three to die for
you bad
certain.
Guys fucking never learn, man. No. So DeGaren sends a couple of guys in to find Eraser's body. Those goons should be so nervous, man. Have they never seen movies? Like, fucking triple hubris followed by an order to send a couple of anonymous guys in.
Excuse me, sir. We're definitely going to get shot now.
I'm sorry, but aren't the EM scopes capable of scanning the building?
Yes.
No, we got to send a couple of guys in.
He needs that physical. He's old school. He's a Boy Scout. Always prepared. he needs that physical documentation.
Bring the body out. So inside the building, we see that Eraser has got some shrapnel through his thigh.
That sucks.
Yeah, dude. Shotgun that he had was broken.
He's also missing a sleeve now.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I guess we haven't seen enough muscles.
Got to.
But yeah, his I think it's his right arm.
The sleeve just torn off?
Just sleeve, like, open to bare muscle.
Right to bare arms.
That's right.
Eraser tosses that broken shotgun away, and the noise draws the goons' attention, who fails to radio for backup, the goons.
Right.
They fail to radio that, hey.
We just heard something.
He's in here. He's alive.
He's still alive.
Bring in more guys, right? One of the goons picks up the shotgun and is just fucking taking a good long gander at it, man. He's examining the shit out of it.
That dude's a terrible actor, too. He looks like a caveman that has found found a valuable thing for the first time. He's like, what is this?
So one of the guys outside with the EM guns, he's looking through his scope, sees a skeletal figure holding the shotgun. Nice shotgun, asshole, he says, and blows the dude away.
That guy knew they were in the building, though. Yes. He knew they were in the building.
It's bizarre. How is it they see this guy, but he's not seeing Eraser?
Everyone but these guys have radios?
Yes.
Don't they all have radios? Or when you're a lesser gun, if you're not given a rail gun, you have no radio.
Yeah, no radio, my friend.
Fucking shit. Plot hole.
All the shortcomings of the EM gun are being laid bare,
here.
They're just killing the wrong guys.
Like, would the Russians want this? For what?
I can see why the government didn't buy it. Like, it has a lot of bugs in it, clearly.
I guess if you're selling them to the Taliban or whatever, that's okay.
Right, yeah, you're just, like, making money selling them some, like, the fiat of guns, man.
The fiat, it's like the fucking fiat of guns.
Always jamming at the wrong time.
So good.
The other goon is closing in. Eraser yanks the shrapnel out of his leg and stabs the guy with it.
Brilliant.
Fucking hardcore move.
Killed that dude with blood poisoning, as it turned out.
But that dude was, like, standing on top of Eraser, basically, and didn't see him.
The lighting in there is bad.
So Eraser grabs the dude's guns,
right.
Sees some more guys coming in, armed with EM guns.
This is Calderon and Schiff.
Though they don't make it very clear at all that it's like your featured second-tier goons.
Yeah, it's weird that they made the decision to have James Caan call these two guys out who we've never met before by name instead of just saying, you go. And then saying, Calderon, Schiff. Follow them, make sure.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
The whole thing was fucked up. Eraser grabs the guns. He drops below the floor.
It almost looked like
building.
He pulled up part of the floor. But I guess it was big chunks of debris.
I think it was all fucked up from the EM guns, like the gunfire from earlier.
It looked like a feat of strength.
But yes. Oh, definitely. He ripped the floorboards out.
Right.
So he crawls along. He's brushing these rats aside until he's directly underneath the goons. He shoots up through the floor, kills them both.
Very John McClane and Die Hard here.
Yes.
Through the table.
And very unceremonious deaths for Calderon and Schiff.
Yeah, it's like I didn't even know it was them. If you couldn't recognize who they were, and as on a first watch, I was watching this, I was like, oh, that's Calderon and Schiff. But it's like, oh, I guess they're dead now. That's it.
They deserve like a more memorable send-off than...
Yeah,
anonymously.
Fucking Cyrus security guy got a one-on-one fight that he lost instantaneously, but at least it was like you knew who he was when he was dying.
You knew who he was. He got a close-up before he got killed, so you knew who he was.
Calderon and Schiff, it was like, oh, fuck, they're dead. Okay, well, then that must mean the movie's almost over.
So Eraser then bursts up through the floor.
Like the fucking Hulk.
When he was in Commando, when he flung like those dozen guys off him or whatever, fighting in the mall. But yeah, he bursts
this was
through the
so
floor,
crazy.
Grabs an EM gun in both hands as more bad guys come a running.
And I feel like this is another, like, this in and of itself is a feat of strength. The bursting through the floor with the rail guns. And those things, like, are heavy as shit.
Should be, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, more bad guys come running. He's, like, fucking mowing them down. They're flying through the air and shit. DeGaren radios to Calderon and Schiff for an update. But Eraser picks up the radio and tells DeGaren they're both dead.
They missed.
That was the moment that I knew that it was Calderon and Schiff. Because yeah. Until then, you didn't Calderon, really know. Schiff.
But I love that line. They missed.
They missed.
This whole exchange, too. I love the zoom in on Jimmy Khan's face for that wry little smile and him saying, Johnny? And then Eraser says, I'll be right out. And drops the mic.
It's almost an I'll be back.
Yeah.
But I'll be right out. DeGaren orders the other goons just fucking open fire.
Yeah.
So back on the boat, the Russian has picked up a phone. He's yelling at somebody in Russian. We don't really know what he's saying. We see that Lee has, like, sort of working the arm of the chair loose that she's bound to. The Russian turns to her, says it seems that her friend has arrived, and she says, well, I'll enjoy introducing him to you, which I liked that line. Realized, like, fucker, you're dead, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, if Eraser's here, you're because not long for this world.
You literally can't survive.
Now, he whips out a knife and says that he doubts she's going to get the chance to introduce them.
The timeline has been moved up for killing her, I mean.
Yes. Now, there's a huge explosion outside, which distracts the Russian.
Yeah, no one can tell me exactly why that building is exploding.
What's in it?
DeGaren and the guys are shooting it with normal guns, and then dude in the crane starts shooting with the rail gun, and then there's just a violent explosion. Why? Yeah. Why is the building exploding?
I don't know, man, because it's a movie.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, there's the big explosion. It distracts the Russian. Lee gets her hand free, and she, like, smashes the coffee pot over the dude's head, which, you know, that coffee was fucking piping hot.
Yeah, and there. I mean, it was scorched. It probably smelled terrible. It tasted terrible.
Oh, yes. She kicked the shit out of him. Good for Lee.
Yeah.
Eraser comes slow walking out of the flaming building with a fucking EM gun in both hands.
Even the building that's still exploding.
Those things seem pretty unwieldy for, like, the average human, but not for a fucking Julius Benedict clone, I guess, because he's just, like, and they never really show it, but I guess he's got one of these battery pack things flung on each shoulder.
That's true, yeah.
There's moments where you can sort of see him shrug it off, but I think it just probably looked stupid, so they're like, let's cut around that.
But also, like, heart lock be damned. It doesn't matter. He's just like shooting from the hip, like in Commando.
Absolutely, man. That's Arnold's style, bro.
He doesn't aim.
But he's laying waste to everything he sees.
Of course he is.
He demolishes that mobile command center, which that shit was rad. That build, the truck going up in flames. Yeah. Now, up on top of the big crane, the guy with the EM gun, he's protecting the final shipping container as it's being loaded. And then Sally Boy, that's the pimp from Crocodile Dundee,
takes his shot.
Takes aim. Yeah, just as the bad guy spots him through the scope, he shoots. And the bullet goes right through the scope and hits that dude in that fucking eyeball.
And I guess it also hits the controls for the crane, right?
I have no clue. There were two dudes up there.
Okay, I thought that there were two guys up there, too.
There was the shooter and the crane operator.
Okay.
But apparently, the guy next to him being shot made the crane operator just drop cargo.
But there are all kinds of sparks and stuff, so it makes me think that it hit.
Oh, do
but
you think it fucked up some?
I don't. Yeah, I think that it fucked up machinery, which is why, like, here in a minute, like, he can't quite get the thing level. It just keeps
maybe
rocking
it damaged
back and
the
forth.
Crane. That would make sense.
Yeah, that's what I got. But also, it's like, anyway, we'll talk about it here in a second. the whole end of this movie, I'm like, what?
So the ship is, I guess, trying to see, like, fuck it, we're out of here. Because they're starting to raise the gangplank, but Lee goes running out of the whatever the fuck, the captain's
the cabin,
quarters
the,
or
the
cabin.
Yeah.
She runs across the gangplank, jumps off it onto the pier. Fucking awesome stunt.
Right, a hail of gunfire, none of which is landing. It's not finding home. So the Russians are terrible shots.
She goes to hide among the crates and barrels there, but DeGaren sees her.
Are they on Pier 1? No, they're on Pier 57, not Pier 1. Crate and barrel.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Thanks.
But meanwhile, there's like a 4x4 that's loaded up with baddies driving at a racer. He fucking wrecks them with his EM guns. They go like cartwheeling over his head. That was the moment that you could sort of see that he's got the battery pack, one flung on each shoulder. I feel like they tried to just shoot around that because it sort of looked silly.
But, I mean, yeah. It's, yeah.
Now, suddenly, DeGaren has Lee at gunpoint. and they're on top of the shipping container.
Right.
The mechanics of that are near impossible.
There was no ladder on the side of the shipping container.
So he would have had to basically stick his gun in his waistband and say, "Now I'm going to climb up here
and help you.
You don't jump off or anything, or you climb up here first at gunpoint, and then I'm going to holster my gun and I'm going to climb up there, but you don't do anything while I'm yeah, I don't know.
Nope.
But that's probably why it wasn't shown.
Or maybe he had a guy like, put a gun on her. We're climbing on top of the crate for some reason.
Yes. So DeGaren orders a racer to drop the guns. He does it. DeGaren says thanks and shoots him right in the chest.
Just a few yards away.
Oh, no. He must be dead.
Right.
But DeGaren should know.
Shoot him in the head.
Empty the fucking clip.
Yeah. Shoot him multiple times.
We're talking about a racer right now.
Maybe it's because this is his protege. He was like, soft spot.
But so DeGaren orders the guy up in the crane to go on and load that shipping container.
So the crane's fine.
It starts working normally again, it seems.
I got it online, sir.
It lifts the container up off the ground with DeGaren and Lee on top of it. A racer, who now appears to have only been shot through the shoulder, he gets up.
What the fuck?
Let's remember now. He's got a bullet through his left shoulder and a shrapnel wound. A few short days ago, he had that spike go through his right hand.
Oh, fuck. I forgot all about his hand. And he just had, he pulled a spike out of most of the meat of his thigh.
Ooh, yeah. So he sees the container being craned away. He runs after it as the Russian bad guys start firing.
Still can't shoot shit.
That was our first sighting of fucking Sven Ole Thorsen.
Hey.
Was one of the Russian goons on the boat.
It.
The barrels are like exploding all around him.
That's what I'm saying. What's on the dock?
So he scrambles up on top of these barrels.
But they're exploding.
He's able to leap and grab onto the container with his one good arm, but he still has the fucking fucked up hand.
Didn't you want some Cameron Poe, like, one-arm pull-ups?
Yes. No one-arm pull-ups. You're going to make it. I'm going to show you God does exist.
What?
Is basically what's happening here. And he's me.
Yeah. I am God.
So Eraser struggles to climb up on top of the container as the Russians are continuing to shoot at him. But just then, like the sort of the scoop, the shovel part of a bulldozer raises up into view. It was just raised really fucking high for a bulldozer. Why was there a bulldozer on the pier? We don't know. We don't want to know. But the mob guys are
like, well, it can't be a forklift. That wouldn't make sense.
They're in a bulldozer. They got to be,
dumb
as fucking shit. But the mob guys are in it, and they wipe the Russian gunman out. And the fucking Don or whatever, Tony Two Toes, was like in the shovel.
Yeah.
He should have been the dude driving the forklift, the bulldozer.
He's not qualified.
We have Sally Boy driving, so the Don is climbed into the shovel.
Sally Boy's the best shot. Like, why would you have him shooting? Instead, it's like Little Mike, like, just sort of, like, waving the gun wildly
around. So DeGaren looks over the edge of the shipping container and gets punched right in the fucking face by Eraser. Great right-hand punch, which he's holding on with his one fucking wounded gunshot left arm. DeGaren drops his pistol, which goes sliding across the shipping container, which is, like, shaking.
Seesawing back and, up and down.
DeGaren then begins putting the boots to Eraser and clubbing him with his crowbar.
Where did a crowbar come from?
I don't know, man. He just pulled a crowbar out of nowhere.
Fucking hell.
Now, the pistol slides over there near Lee. Eraser manages to get DeGaren in sort of this chokehold. Lee lets go of the chain to try to get the pistol. But, you know, the container shifts and she immediately goes tumbling off the edge.
It sees when she was sawing.
Yes. Eraser lets go of DeGaren and catches Lee with his good arm. But that's the one with the fucking bad hand, though, you could not grip anything after that.
Your shit would, you wouldn't be able to, like, ball a fist probably because of nerve damage and stuff.
It's insane.
Because the thing that went through his hand had, like, screw.
No, it ripped a hole out of his hand.
Ugh.
And he's, like, holding the weight of both of them with his gunshot left arm. It's insane.
Feet of strength.
So he lifts her back up on top of the container as DeGaren has crawled over to where the pistol's at. Eraser tells Lee to grab onto something.
I thought I misheard him. In the subtitles, it confirms that he says grab the ladder, and there's nothing in that shot because they're like holding on to the chains. And I was like, grab the ladder.
That's what he said. Yeah.
And it's not until after the crane.
She is clinging to a ladder.
Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Eraser tells her to grab on. He jams the crowbar up into the gears of like the crane. DeGaren reaches the gun and turns to Eraser and says, say goodbye, John. And Eraser says, goodbye. That's like some fucking third grade like level kiss off lines.
Yeah.
But Eraser rips the workings of the crane out and the container just drops with he and DeGaren still on top of it.
Let's keep in mind that DeGaren had a gun on Eraser and let him swing just the crowbar at the workings. And then,
but how is that even possible? Like, how shoddy is the construction of this crane?
But he's so strong. He's so strong.
Gears apart.
He's so strong.
He is. It's not also a great plan from Eraser. He went fucking kamikaze. He's like, fuck it. We're both falling, dude. Now, Lee is like, she's clinging onto the crane, onto the ladder. It's part of like the rigging of the crane or whatever. DeGaren gets fucking wrecked, dude. When that container hits the ground, he goes flying off of it. We don't really see what happened to Eraser.
We see his body bounce off the thing.
Yeah. Ugh.
And like just the perspective, the ratios of his like the body size of whatever it was that bounced off to the front of the container that opens up, and the guns look enormous when they fall out. I was like, why are they so fucking huge?
Guns or something?
It looks. I was like that. That bit of CG looked terrible. That effect sucked.
I think once they started compositing everything together, it was like, oh boy, the ratios, the scale of everything is all fucked up.
We blew our load on the alligators.
Yes. But yeah, the container bust open. Their EM guns spill out everywhere. A helicopter arrives, is hovering around, surveying the scene. We see that Beller is up in it. He's just pointing at shit.
I wish Beller was in a helicopter for the whole movie. Just like anytime.
Bellercopter, we call
him. Yes. Anytime Eraser communicated with Beller, they're like, cut to Beller. Beller's just in a chopper somewhere.
Right now.
What is it? I'm in the chopper.
Get to the chopper. Eraser crawls out of the wreckage, finds DeGaren. He's alive, but he's pinned underneath the door of the shipping container. DeGaren's like begging Eraser don't let me die like this. Don't let me go like this, man.
How did Eraser survive without all of his body being broken? Liquefied. At least his torso.
All of your insides would just be liquefied.
Like from probably mid torso down would be ruined forever.
Yes. So Eraser reluctantly lifts the door off him. DeGaren, of course,
immediately
he's going to try to kill him.
I do love that Arnold, like that he, when he's moving around to like lift the door, he like puts his weight on the door to like support him, like pushing down, and then and that Jimmy Conn grunts, is like,
you son of a bitch.
But the lifting of the door, feat of strength again.
Absolutely, man. Now he's also managed to hold the full weight of the container door with his gunshot arm.
Fucking hell.
You're not holding shit. If a bullet's gone through your shoulder, fucked all your shit up. But police finally arrive from all directions. I love in movies where every cop arrives simultaneously.
Yeah.
Like, remember Con Air? The plane crash?
Yes.
And just all sides, 100 police cars pull up. FBI or U.S. Marshals or whatever come piling out of this helicopter with assault rifles.
I like to think that they're just witness protection guys.
There was a dozen like, dudes. It was like a clown car the way they were piling out of that
and
helicopter.
And also, can we talk, like, would the direct, even if he was the director, would the director of witness protection be able to roll up in a helicopter to a crime scene like that?
I think because Eraser had called him and said, get your ass to Baltimore Harbor.
Yeah, I'm sure that
like,
he just
get
did.
Me a chopper.
But like would he be there? Like, I'm just saying in a hierarchical sense, or would FBI be like, why the fuck are you here?
So I picture it in a world in which like DeGaren and Eraser are like his sons almost.
Okay.
And he's probably like, normally I wouldn't hop in the chopper and come out here.
But he's always
are,
in
like,
the chopper.
My two shining stars.
Right.
I'm going to go.
They're
I want to be there
knights.
To see for myself what
Booby.
Exactly is happening.
Right.
Booby. Is that what you said?
I said, but they're my white knights.
They're my white knights. Yeah, it's fucking nuts, though, dude. So Beller surveys the scene, sees there's EM guns everywhere. Beller orders his men to take DeGaren away, and he thanks Eraser. in a real world scenario, they take a racer into custody.
Definitely.
Too. We don't know what's happening.
We have to
here.
Question you.
We got to fucking figure. We got to get to the bottom of this shit.
For sure.
Lee comes running out of the carnage.
Uh-huh.
How the fuck did she get down from the crane? Don't know. Did the evil crane operator, like, lower her to the ground?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how did she
Most
get to
likely,
the ground?
He'd just fucking be like, oh, fuck this shit, and hop out and scram.
He's like, I gotta get out of here.
She's dangling, you know, 100 feet up or whatever.
She would also, yeah, broken limbs.
So she and Eraser hug. It was a nice, refreshing, platonic hug.
I was gonna say, very platonic. No kiss, notable.
We fade to, I guess it's a courthouse.
Yeah.
The DeGaren, the undersecretary, and this dude Moorhart from Cyrez, they're exiting with reporters swarming everywhere. The trio has been indicted for treason. The undersecretary keeps quiet, but DeGaren's got a lot to say. He says, I'm proud of what I've done. The reporters are like, you admit to treason? I admit to patriotism.
Oof.
Our actions stopped a secret alliance that this administration has had with some of our nation's worst enemies. The public deserves to know the truth, and when we have our day in court, they will. What? This is like some gaslighting bullshit.
Like, what you were just in, like, what?
You were doing treason to bring light to the treason that was going on?
Yep.
Anyway, but what's his version of events going to be? Like, is he tossing the undersecretary and the others under the bus?
Yeah, I think he says in a second that it's like, somebody's got to take the fall, and then we'll just be able, it's plausible deniability. It's like, we were trying to expose the whole thing. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. But Eraser and Lee appear. Lee wonders if they might get away with it, the bad guys.
Yeah.
Eraser says it's possible if Moorhart takes the fall for all of them. Then he's telling her, you know, you did a great job back there in her testimony, I guess.
But I also hate that I don't like the line that she says, I couldn't have done it without you watching over me. That's bullshit.
Yeah, they got to keep Schwarzenegger the hero, I guess.
You couldn't have spoken in front of Congress?
She wouldn't be here if he hadn't kept her alive.
Oh, maybe. In that context, okay. But, like, I couldn't have said these words without you there
doing it. You're staring at me in the courtroom. I feel like at this point, Eraser is also a star witness.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no, I was there when all the shit was going
down. I'm the
one
who found the shit on the computer by accident the second time.
Yes. But so then Eraser asks her if she's ready.
Mm-hmm.
She sort of nervously nods. Beller exits and gives this fucking huge shit-eating grin right to the camera.
I feel like something's missing. Like there must have been an exchange between Arnold and James Coburn that was cut.
That moment was so odd. He should have
walked out. Like, or is it like, Eraser's going to get some tail?
He should have walked out with Eraser and Lee.
Yeah.
Not like separately. But if you look up shit-eating grin in the dictionary, that's what you're going to see. Man. Like, I fucking love it. I love the taste. I fucking eat shit and I love it. I hate myself for loving it, but I love it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
The undersecretary tells DeGaren, you know, you gave a nice speech, but you need to learn not to talk to reporters.
Right.
DeGaren doesn't seem overly worried. He's like, once Lee's dead, this case is never going to go to trial.
Wait, what?
They're fucking out in the open.
Yeah.
Bizarre shit to talk about.
People can hear you. Let's wait till we get in the car, huh?
So Eraser and Lee, they go and get into a cargo van. There's like no shortage of cargo vans in this movie either. But
must have to deal with GM or something.
Yeah, then the van just blows sky high. Beller is shocked, as are DeGaren and the undersecretary.
So my read from this was that when it blew up, that DeGaren was like, instead of being more shocked, was like, oh, nice.
Nice.
Like this sort of wry grin crosses his face.
He's like, fucking, that's convenient.
And I immediately thought, was that the plan? Because he had just, like, that paid off the line that he had just said was, my immediate thought was that he planned
exactly.
This.
We gotta kill him, right? No matter what. But yeah, DeGaren sort of smirks, and the bad guys all get into a limousine, which I also feel like a bunch of dudes who just got indicted for selling out the country, like,
riding
off in a limousine is not great optics.
You don't ride together to court, either.
The lawyers should have advised against that.
Yeah, it's like, don't
ride together in a limousine.
You're all taking public transportation to get there.
Now, underneath the flaming wreckage of the van, we see this metal grate is being moved back into place.
Which means that whoever's down there would have been impacted in some way by the explosion.
Absolutely.
No?
But Eraser's up to his old bullshit. He's like, putting innocent bystanders in danger.
Yeah, that van exploding could have killed any number of people.
Just to hoodwink the bad guys. And now as the limo drives off through D.C., we see the streets are fucking soaking wet, even though it's sunny outside. Don't know what's going on.
Right.
Inside the limo, DeGaren is saying, "With that bitch gone," quote unquote,
whoa,
"we're now free to spin doctor our way out of this shit and fire the whole operation up again."
That was fast.
Yeah, the others aren't so sure about it. I think it's more hard is like, what about the people she's been in contact with, her friends, her family?
Jimmy, there's a fuck her friends, fuck her family, fuck her friends. I'll kill them one by one.
The men chuckle at it. Fucking killer delivery from Khan, though.
Yeah, that voice is awesome.
But what would she have told her friends and family that she hasn't already told law enforcement?
Right.
I don't know.
Or Congress, for that matter.
DeGaren praises the undersecretary for his initiative at blowing up the van. Says, like, it's genius. There are a lot of witnesses around to say we were nowhere near it.
It was quick.
What are you talking about?
Hundreds of people.
In the grand scheme of things, you were very close to where this happened.
Just less than 100 yards, probably.
The undersecretary is confused.
Wait, what?
He says, "I thought you set that up." The limo lurches to a stop. The doors lock. We see that Johnny hops out of the passenger seat and skedaddles away.
Yeah.
Eraser still using Johnny in his schemes. The phone inside the limo rings. Fucking blasting the past, little car phone action. Yeah. The undersecretary answers. He passes the phone to DeGaren, says it's for you. And we got Eraser there, says, "You've just been erased."
I wish to God it had been the dude from the beginning of the movie.
You've just been erased.
Or that he'd knocked on the window and said it. They like rolled the window. "Excuse me, guys, you've just been erased." Like that was his deal. Like that's his job. He doesn't do anything else but deliver the bad
news.
I'm the
erase line guy. But DeGaren, he whips his head around, sees Eraser standing nearby on a cell phone. The railroad bells begin to ring. The arms lower as we see that the limo is parked on top of the tracks. So, or does Eraser have the train schedule?
Yes.
He knew that there was a... Also, he's risking derailing a train right now.
Fuck, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, we got to do it, man.
Yeah.
So this oncoming train comes, it plows into the limousine. There's a fucking huge crash.
Yeah. The car's like fiery, and I was like, I don't know about the fire and the crash. Again, things catching fire awfully fast in this movie.
Yeah. So Johnny waves to Eraser as he drives away. Let's stop to recognize that Eraser just enlisted Johnny to help him kill some people.
Uh-huh.
And like Johnny's like, "Oh, it's a pleasure. That's a pleasure murdering with you.
Have a good day.
See you around." It makes me wonder, like, what became of
them? Come by the bar.
What became of the other mob guys who were out on the pier?
Like Tony Two Toes?
Yeah,
and
those
and
dudes.
Family?
Sally Boy and
they're all fine. Mike.
Did they like sneak away? Did the government turn them loose?
I think that they, like Eraser, probably helped them.
They helped us.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Yeah. Or in all likelihood, they could have said, "We're with the union. We were here checking out to see what they
were
doing."
Yeah, we're just looking around.
I did love that angle of the movie. Like the whole union bit. All that shit was very funny.
It was nice. So Eraser trots over to this SUV where Lee's waiting. She asks what happened. He says, "They caught a train."
It's such a thing in his movies for a female character to ask what happened to the bad guy, and then I let him go.
I let him go. He caught a train.
He had to split. Always. What happened to him? What'd you do?
I killed him in the most grisly way possible.
But I'm not going to tell you to protect you because you're a woman.
Get on the floor. Get down. Run. With fucking guitar shred. Roll credits to the song.
I love that he says, "No sooner they caught a train." Black. Credits. Done.
Roll
it's like
credits.
The movie's over.
The song was from Trevor Rabin called "Caught a Train." That dude was, he was like the front man for Yes for a little while.
All right.
He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Nice.
That's him.
Love it.
Did you stick around, though, for the Vanessa Williams ballad?
No, I couldn't.
On the credits?
I couldn't possibly.
She had a song on the credits called "Where Do We Go From Here?"
Indeed.
It was fucking cringy ballad. Like, yeah, it was bizarre shit. But it was, like, I think a remnant of the romance angle that got completely axed from the movie.
It just,
was a good fucking call, because there wasn't like romantic chemistry.
Well, there's no time. There's no time.
Yes. We don't have time to get our fuck on.
I'm trying to think of movies in which that's done effectively.
I didn't even buy
the
like
Terminator.
What about Born Identity with
where she suddenly just
with
like
Lola Run and Matt
Frank
Damon.
Frank Potente.
Yeah. And it's like, why is she into him now?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess because trauma does stuff to you. But it doesn't really.
What about Keanu and Sandra Bullock and Speed? That kind of worked.
Yeah, like when it's been happening over the course of the entire movie. Then
that's true.
Sort
for the
makes
for
sense.
The lion's share of this movie, they were not together.
No. And yeah. She was, and when she was, it's like she's not really talking.
Plus, that there was like probably a 15 to 20 year age gap. Also,
yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it's odd.
Yeah, like the Terminator is about one of the only ones where I can think it's like, but even then, it's like I can't. Other than both of these people are severely traumatized, it's like what drove them to each other? Like, why are they already like super down with each other?
Well, it's Independence Day logic. You don't want to die a virgin, do you? To Reese,
yeah,
who had never got his fuck on. I think.
Yeah.
But I could see how like it's like fuck this shit. My life's in danger constantly. Like, you just want to like have some release.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know.
The movie's
over.
It was wise,
I think, of this movie not to try to force it.
Yeah.
But
again, it's like one of the parts of this movie having sort of an identity crisis. Is it a serious movie with funny moments? Because it's not a funny movie by any stretch.
No.
This is not a funny movie. It feels I don't know, like one of the darker Bond movies in that regard, where it's
honestly,
just like there's no levity in this,
yeah,
until essentially the last chapter.
Like, Pastorelli and the mob guys were pretty much the comic relief for the movie.
Yeah.
Supposedly the movie was written to be a film for De Niro to star in, like when it was first.
Okay.
And that makes me think of like, it would have been less of an action spectacle and more of like a...
It would have been like thriller,
a
espionage.
Thriller movie. Yeah, it probably would have been fucking great.
Yeah.
I could see De Niro as like the eraser, you know?
Yeah, totally. Man, that makes me wish that De Niro had been in this movie.
It would have been something like Ronin, you know? Like,
yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking.
Absolutely. So, but as we mentioned previously, the role then was apparently offered to Stallone, who didn't like it because he thought it was fucking poorly written. And he went off and did Copland. Instead of which, Copland's a fucking great movie.
Yeah. But it's just funny for Stallone to be like, it's poorly
written.
No,
for him to think a script is bad is rich. But I think there was a lot of rewrites that happened. Like,
yeah.
it might have been legitimately bad in its first like version that reached Stallone.
I'm sure it was.
But yeah, this director, Chuck Russell, apparently, and the producer, Arnold Copelson, like, had a rocky relationship during the production. They couldn't, they wouldn't talk to each other. So, like, fucking Schwarzenegger was the go-between. He got along with both of them and was like...
No wonder he seems like... Even Schwarzenegger in this feels, like, exhausted. Like
he probably had a lot of extra stress
yeah,
on him, because he's like, why do I got to be the fucking go-between between the director and the producers?
Yeah.
Like, negotiating fucking schedules and logistics and shit. Because those dudes, like, wouldn't talk to each other, apparently.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how that even happens. You fire the director if that's the case, right? Except maybe then you worry that Schwarzenegger and this dude wanted to work together, and
right,
who the fuck knows.
And probably, I mean, at that point, the Schwarzenegger talks to the producer and is like, look, I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And who knows? Arnold was pumping money into this.
One of the situations where it's like, Hey John, tell this guy that I said this, even though you're like, could
right
easily
there
just pick up the phone and call whatever. But, I feel like the movie also just was fucking heavily overhauled and edit. Because I think I mentioned this to you offline, but I don't think I mentioned it on air. I keep finding these references to the fact that James Caan's Daguerrean character was supposed to be named the Samaritan.
Yeah.
Like that
yeah
was his code name or some shit. But it's never once mentioned in the final cut. But I've seen interviews of people on the set referring to
right
James Caan's character as the Samaritan. And I'm just like, there must have been a lot of shit that changed from what they thought they were filming
yeah
on set to what actually reached theaters.
I wonder, yeah, about like what the reshoot situation was.
I don't know. It must have been like heavy. Well, we also mentioned like the Cyrez.
Yeah, the name
had
change
been Cyrex before. And like,
oops,
they had to change that in post production and
mm-hmm
shit. But as always seems to be the case, I read where James Conn had a great time working with Schwarzenegger. He said that, like, he was a little sad any time that Schwarzenegger wasn't on set when he was working, because those two like to sort of cut up and screw around together. And basically no one ever got mad at Arnold when Arnold would, like, pull a prank on somebody. So he's like, you know, when Arnold's around, we can get away with shit because no one's ever mad at him. But when it's just me, like, I'm the fucking asshole in the room, right. You know, whatever. I think, as we mentioned, film premiered at the Atlanta Olympic Village.
Yes, where your boys lived for three years.
Absolutely. That's where we first encountered each other and founded this decades-long friendship.
Yeah, bro.
That's awesome to me.
It is very cool.
The reviews for the movie, very mixed.
Uh-huh.
Did you read Ebert?
I did not.
Ebert liked it.
Hey!
Well, Ebert said it pays to have a short attention span on this movie, but he dug it. He was like, you know, all that being said, I liked the movie. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was Arnold doing Arnold things. The movie, modest success.
Mm-hmm.
It cost an estimated $100 million to make. It made about $240 million worldwide. It was up against some fucking strong summer competition in 96, dude.
Yeah, you were telling me about this earlier.
Independence Day was the number one movie of the year.
So good.
Came out a couple weeks maybe after this movie. Twister and Mission Impossible and The Rock all were out that summer.
Wow. Yeah, very stiff competition. Yeah. Man, so what a summer.
All those movies are better than this one. So
yeah, objectively.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about we're due for a Twister rewatch.
Also, 1996 movies that made a lot of money, Heat was
so
out. That came
good.
Out the very end of 95, made a lot of money. Apparently globally, and made like a shit ton Heat. Maybe just because it's like, oh, Pacino and De Niro in a movie together domestically was fine.
That's a good action movie.
It's a great fucking movie. Ransom came out that year. I love that
Mel
movie.
Gibson.
Yeah. Jerry Maguire.
Oh,
was out that year. Scream.
Oscar winner.
Came out that year.
Wow. Genre bender. Man.
Yeah, dude. Broken Arrow came out that year. Another action movie for us. Jingle All the Way. Another Schwarzenegger flick came out on the holiday season.
Arnold.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Which we've talked about.
One of the greatest movies
Solid.
Ever made, probably.
The Ghost in the Darkness.
Ooh.
Did you like that flick?
Yeah, I really liked that
Lion
movie.
Lion Hunters and fucking Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas.
Yeah, I really liked that movie. I like Michael Douglas and I loved Val Kilmer.
Another movie mentioned regularly on this podcast, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Speaking of Val Kilmer.
And another one that we mentioned a lot, Multiplicity. 1996.
That movie, she
I saw that. So I saw that movie. It was probably on the same HBO free week or free month
that
I watched Multiplicity probably 20 times and haven't seen it since.
So but good. It holds
and
up.
And Eraser and a few others were like just on fucking heavy rotation, man, that summer. But it was probably 97 or something, a little free HBO trial.
Yeah. Jacob Arnold and I ragged out that Multiplicity.
You know
VHS.
When you make a copy of a copy?
You know when you make a copy of a copy and it's not a sharp?
I watched the shit out of that.
Tuck and fold. Two tucks and a fold.
I remember very little about that movie except being like, this is not as good as Eraser. Is Eraser coming on next? That's probably what I was thinking. But they're both equally like, whatever.
If you're a Michael Keaton fan, then
the
you'll
more Michaels, the merrier.
Yeah, that's right. Michael Keaton playing multiple versions of himself.
How many Michael Keatons were there? Were there more than three?
There was the original
three?
And then three copies. Okay. There was the Butch copy, the sort
of
effeminate
alpha
copy,
male type copy.
The effeminate copy,
and
then
the special.
The dullard copy.
She touched my pepe.
She touched my pepe, Steve.
That was like the copy of the copy.
Give me a wallet. I love he puts a piece of pizza in his wallet, like licks it. She touched my peppy Steve.
I remember that movie, but I haven't seen that movie in decades, but I have seen it probably 20 to 30 times.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Michael Keaton, like, one need go no further than Gung Ho, Mr. Mom, Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton was like
Batman, bro.
But I'm saying, like, just a comic, like, genius.
Yeah.
Like, a comic genius. And then his Batman was so, like, different. It was so different than anyone thought it was going to be.
Well, he wasn't like the butch macho Batman. He was sort of like a quirky, weird guy.
But I thought, as like, that is how billionaires act.
Yes.
Just fucking off the rails. He's like coked up madman, like Elon Musk saying stupid shit.
Yes.
Anyway.
That was 1996, though, in a nutshell.
And that was Eraser.
Yeah, dude. Eraser.
I enjoyed it. As a blind taste test, it was palatable.
It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had words.
It's a serviceable movie. That's the word that I keep coming back to. It's serviceable.
Yeah.
You would never say it was a bad movie.
It is not going to be on a Criterion Blu-ray,
but it's not fun. It's not fun to watch. It's not one you want to revisit over and over.
No. No.
I had fun talking about it because I haven't thought about this movie in a decade, probably.
Yeah. Kevin had that vintage t-shirt too.
I did. I used to play basketball in my You've Been Erased t-shirt.
Fuck yeah.
A little street ball.
You've been erased.
You've been erased, sucka.
I wish that you've been erased.
Hey, you've just been erased. That dude was like cheerful with the way he said it. That one guy in the beginning. It was odd.
He did not nail the delivery. And they're like, how many takes did they just like, you've got one chance.
That's it. Cut and print.
What? I can do it. I got another in me.
That could not be the best take.
No. How many times do you think
that dude was?
How many times do you think that dude said that line before they're like, fuck, we got to move on.
And we never saw him again. I wonder if he thought this was going to be like he's going to catapult him to stardom.
Or if he was another stunt guy. I don't know.
Relax. You've just been erased. It was a weird delivery.
Oh, anyway.
I've had fun talking about it with you, buddy.
Me too.
Thanks for taking the journey.
Oh, I loved it. This was fun.
Yeah, dude.
Always. In the meantime, we'd like to, again, thank all our friends at the Last of the Action Network. Last of the Action Network. In the meantime, we'd like to...
The burn is so good! 13th Colony!
In the meantime, we'd like to thank all of our friends at the Last of the Action Heroes Network. Dame Helen Mirren.
Yes. Is she a dame? She's got to be.
She's dame. All the Judy rest Dan, of our huge
Helena
fans.
Helena Bonham Carter's probably checking in.
Big time. We love you guys. We're not sure what's coming up next, but we'll get a handle on it while we're at the beach next week.
Absolutely.
And in the meantime,
I'm going to rub suntan lotion on your shoulders.
We're going to senoritas and margaritas.
Ooh, Point Break style.
Yeah. And we'll be back.